welcome back to the second half hour of observations. And I was going to finish one little thought, Larry, just because we're uncovering little gems in the words that Yahweh chooses to tell us, to give us his advice on how we should live.
This word regal, you know, trampling people underfoot with your tongue. I mean, obviously these are words that are being spoken that are misleading by this person who really seems to have a problem with circumcision. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have a problem with castration, though, if you look at Pete 46, where he wants people under the Torah, as he puts it. Boy, talk about a religious look at things, castrated. So anyway, go ahead.
No, I was just going to the last little thing. If when you we had just covered what you had just stated about trampling with the tongue, which obviously it would describe Paul to an nth degree, but in the Paul intensive form, it also, when used that way, it is to spy, it's backbiting and slander. And who is he spying on? Well, there's instances of that, but he's also the most important one word in that little group is slander. He slanders, he lies about everything Yahweh says.
He slandered Shimon, too. I mean, he slandered.
Oh, yes, that's true. You're correct.
He hated, said he hated.
Yahweh Conan later.
Oh, yeah, said he
I stand
hated.
Corrected. Yes, indeed. So then if we move on, and we're just doing a slight review leading up to the things that God defines that he hates, or Yahweh defines that he hates the most, and we're up to 6:14. Have you got that in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you want to read that with confusing and false perceptions?
With confusing and false perceptions, which invert reality in his heart, he devises and inscribes antagonistic schemes without consideration of their consequence. And let me go down here. Which are evil and adversarial and everything, continually creating controversies and contentious strife. As one who claims to be sent out as a messenger to do away with something important. Wow, there's a lot there. Something important. Would the Torah be important? You know, that might be a start. False perceptions. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that is Paul. That is the people who picked up the letters after Paul and continued on, Marcion, all the way up through the into the Catholic Church, to the ultimately to the Protestant Church as well. And it is Christianity. And
creating controversies and continuous strife.
Well, look at all the key words in there. You've got inverting reality is topokuoth, I guess is the best way. I'm not very good at pronouncing. I'm a lot better at looking up the words. Obviously, it means upside down and forward and perverse, but it's also to overthrow, overturn, and to convert and to change. And, of course, that's what Paul was all about.
Well, let's just take an example here. This would be a beautiful way to do it, and we've been over this before, but, you know, it doesn't hurt to reiterate anything.
No.
You know, when we look in the book named after Babel, what it says is they've got they won't even use his name, Yahusha. He's on the upright pole, but it becomes a cross, and he's saying, upon this rock I will build my church. Well, he didn't say that. What he said was he spoke Hebrew, and he said, I will establish my mikra or build my mikra. I'm not sure which it was. I'm guessing establish my mikra. And the mikra is the moed mikra. Suddenly, that becomes ecclesia in the Greek, which means called out assembly, really,
right,
which is what moed mikra means. There are Yahweh's seven called out assemblies that begin at Pesach and end with Sukkah in the seventh month.
Right.
And obviously he was they even call him the Lamb, many Christians, the Lamb. So they understand this was a Passover sacrifice, or they should if they're calling him that. And so when we're at this point of the game and he's saying, I will establish or fulfill my mikra here, suddenly the ecclesia, the called out assembly, that would be a close to Moed Mikra, and I would have basically the same understanding reading both. Suddenly that becomes a church. which takes on a divergent meaning altogether. You know, so that's what we're talking about here, false perceptions that invert reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the further we go in it, the more it's going to be Paul in the Cheresh, which is, that's the, means to engrave or to inscribe. That's another reference to someone who wrote letters. Cheresh is to cut or to engrave or to
scratch
the carvings in the line or write in stone or write in. They used to write in little tablets and things because paper was extraordinarily expensive or papyruses were still very not that common, so they would write on charge and so forth. So in his case, he probably wrote on some papyrus, those letters that they translated. So he's identified more with his writing than anything else.
Well, they're just letters. That's what they are, letters to people. These are not dictated word-for-word scripture. Even if anybody thought that Paulos was a for real guy, they couldn't believe what he was doing when he talked about himself and how great he was and this and that, and I did this and I did that. Couldn't believe that was dictation from Yahweh because he was talking about himself.
No.
And
everything is adversarial. Everything is antagonistic. So the
and he's creating strife always in the letters, isn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't he? You know, he's always attacking the disciples, isn't he? And sticking up for himself and all this stuff. And so when I look at those letters and the word they use in these churches today is what? Epistle. But what does epistle mean?
It just means
letter.
That's
all it is. So that's exactly, this guy is writing letters.
Yeah, I think it's something written in stone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly
writing
in the scroll of the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it gets even clearer as you go to Ra, which is adversarial. I just throw that out as a mention because what does Hasatan mean?
He's the adversary.
Absolutely. So, I mean, he's leaving. I don't know how many breadcrumbs we have to find before we can find our way to the Passover door, but it ain't Yah's fault if you don't. I mean, all you got to do is keep reading it. And he's always creating controversies and contentious strife. So, Madonna or Madayim is the same. So, it just, let's see if I had, Madonna, of course, is strife. I'm just going to go over to my notes if y'all bear with me. Interesting, din is the root of that, which means to rule, to judge, and to lord, and to quarrel.
Yeah, Dan.
And it means
judge,
to also,
Danny,
you, yeah, in the Madon, with the way it's written, with the M and a D and a O and a N, a nun, it means to quarrel over the door to life.
Yeah, and isn't this something that Christian churches do all the time? Isn't it even amongst each other? Isn't that
what Paul was arguing over? How do you get to heaven? Well, you go through graces as opposed to the Moed Mikre, and that's what that's one of the meanings of Madayim.
Yeah, there you go.
Gosh, I mean, those things kind of when you translate, and you go, wow. And let's see, as one who claims to be sent as a messenger and do away with something important, and of course, obviously we know what he's trying to do away with, and that's the, that is the mitzvah of the Torah, the terms and conditions. He's given new terms and new conditions, and he's not arguing with the Torah like the rabbis were doing. He's just arguing, you know, and trying to say, no, what he really meant to say was this. He's actually just saying, do away with it. I've come with a new approach, a new way.
Yeah, and wouldn't it be smart to listen to a man writing letters who's always talking about himself as opposed to, say, the creator of the universe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be a brilliant idea, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I walked away from Christianity. I figured that Yahweh's words were a lot more important than religious copy edits and what somebody decided to throw into a canon after they did those heavy copy edits through political means. And why not go to the oldest extant material we have and look at it?
Well, it was a little harder long ago to do that, even though they found him in, 1947. But, I mean, they've kept it away from a lot of people. But now there's, in this day and age, there's no excuse to not be able to translate these things. It's quite a remarkable
thing. Well, I think, or find somebody who has and read them. I mean, I don't do a lot of translating like you and JB and Craig and Elise, but I do... what I do is go over it and match it to things. And what I find is that it all fits together perfectly if your translations are close to what was being said. I'm not saying that all the shades that come into a word like you just brought up, you know, with the that it speaks of a tongue, you know, it's not just feet, but it's a tongue that tramples people under. In other words, he's diminishing them, he's killing them with his words, and because they're consuming his words.
Yes,
and these are the kinds of things that only take place in religions, really.
Right.
It's got to be a pretty major religion for Yahweh to continue to be talking about this particular guy all the time.
Well, when we first found Chabuk a couple of years ago, or however long ago it was, and y'all were talking about that on the Friday show, and Terry and I remember we were listening and going, wow, and he was kind enough to send us the copy, and we read it, and it just went on, and they were still in the process of finishing off some parts of questioning Paul.
It was in March of 2013, I think.
Was it? Okay. So, well, that's about 3 years ago then. I was saying, wow, that's like blatant. Since he started observations, and a few months ago when he was still shattering this program, and we were going over some stuff, and regardless of whether I jump in much on the thing, I do this because I want to know what it says to the best of my ability, just because it's fun. I mean, it's really fun.
You know, that's your bailiwick.
It's cool for me because for so long I've had to take what somebody else said. This is what truth is, because I said so.
And
Craig has never been that way. He's always said, this is what I translated. This is why I translated. Here's the words that I translated it from. Here's the ones that are from the Dead Sea Scrolls. Here are the ones that we don't have an extant copy in order to get from the Dead Sea Scroll on this particular passage. But every time this is translated 29 other times, it came out this way, da 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 da. So he gives you enough information that you can find it very trustworthy. And if you only looked up a few words here and there just to satisfy yourself, you would find it. Yeah, that's what it says from all these different verses, all these different lexicons. However, what I got kind of a big kick on was Yosha kept saying, you know, don't change a jot and a tittle. And I said, well, what's the original jots and tittles? So I went to those and found out they have tremendous meaning. And the more further back you go with ancient meaning of Hebrew words, it has some magical things, you know, in them that you go, wow, who could put that word together with that and come up talking about Paul like that? I mean, that's genius, because it's you know, trampling with your tongue was another one of those. Okay, so to me, they're all little aha moments, and just it's worth the thrill to go do it, and I encourage everybody to try it.
I want to say this, too. Even if we were talking to somebody that was confused by rabbinic Judaism, okay, let's say they were confused by rabbinic Judaism. These words are so clear, and about who they are, and the prophecies are so perfect that you might want to rethink your position and start looking at a lot of Yahweh's words as prophetic.
I don't know how a rabbi could argue with this. You know, do they have a different language?
Yeah, they do. It's called modern Hebrew, and they do all kinds of confusing things.
But I mean,
it's like trying to compare a Bible to, you know, Yahweh's words in a DSS. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Don't even say the same things. I mean, they just don't.
It's so twisted, anyway, it just is a fabulous thing to do. And once again, I encourage you to try it every now and then. There's people out there that just because.
And I do that. I mean, as an example, looking up Adar as an example and finding out that this 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 the first son of Benjamin was involved in Moloch and sun worship and all this other stuff. That's what the name's actually tied to. And you know, and then you find out his mother was a clandestine conspirator, you know, because she was a Canaanite.
Yeah.
You gotta love it, you know.
And you have to remember, this is a Benjamite we're talking about. This the
yeah, and this guy, you know, and what did Yahweh say about Benjamin? He said he's a wolf that rips and tears and ravages.
And then
Yahusha comes along and talks about the wolf in sheep's clothing. I mean, and if anybody listening to this hasn't come to some conclusions by now, you better go be checking it out yourself, because you're going to find out everything we're saying is spot on.
Yeah, go to Christian Paul. I mean, where he lays out, I mean, it was about 1,500, 2,000 words, you know, just, or however many pages, hundreds and hundreds of pages. It breaks it down piece by piece by piece by piece. And then you'll be able to do a lot of the same stuff here. It will all absolutely make sense. What I may not have said a little earlier is I couldn't believe, as we went through all this, after Chabuk, I thought, well, that was some isolated cases about Paul. I'm telling you, everything we've been doing in in the book that is now being written called Observations for Our Time, it's got Paul all over it.
Yeah, that's important, because he has misled billions. Yeah. Rabbi Akiba misled millions.
Yes.
Muhammad and Paul have misled billions. And billions are pretty important. You know, not all those billions of people are going to end up being very important. Most are just going to become dust of the
earth. Their life will be over, and that their soul will be in. Yeah.
Right, but Yahweh, you know, he's already had a relationship with the people that are going to live, because his past, present, and future are all the same. And so, you know, when he's saying that I love these people, or I love this group, or I love this guy, or, you know, obviously, you know, since Paul is out there confusing mostly Gentiles, right, or goyim, really, then these goy, most are going to die, but there's going to be people that saw through Paul, just like that there's Judah that saw through, and Yehudim that have seen through Akiba.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so these people are loved. They're loved before, you know. In fact, Kirk, before you ever knew Yahweh, he knew you. That's what I would tell you. And I would tell that to anybody who knows Yahweh. Yeah. I mean, that's just the truth of it, you know. And that's because, you know, we're a part of his future already. We just don't know it.
Yeah, it's hard to wrap your brain around that, even if you can understand it logically. But it's a little hard sometimes to think, my gosh, you're light and you can see the future, the past and the present and the future.
Well, there was
all right there before him.
Loved.
So he knows who will respond way ahead of time.
There are time light scholars, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And light, being the fastest thing we know, is the essence of time.
Right.
You can't have time without light. And he created time. Thus, he created this dimension. And time, you know, we can look at it as our blessing or our burden or however we want to look at it, but time is limitless, you know, in both directions. But if let's say, Kirk, you and I had spent 6 months together eating and camping out and our families together sharing information and enjoying dinners at night and all this other and having good laughs and everything, and somebody's told me that Kirk was no longer going to be in your future. Now, since special relativity says that the past, the present, the future, you know, all of, they exist. That's why I said I exist. You know, I mean, you know,
Hiya,
the very word that is the basis for Yahweh's name, existence.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, if you told me that, and somebody came along and made sure that Kirk got the proper information to stay on that road to meet me, I'd be forever thankful to them as well. So, you know, what we do within the parameters of the family to keep sharing the words, reinforcing the same things, and the stuff might sound old to people, I don't know, I'm always excited to see it over and over again because all it does is reinforce that we're not making a mistake to begin with. So.
Yeah, I'm very much that way, yeah. It's just, as an old debater, I was an old debater in high school and was thought about it in college for a little while and then went into art. But I like to think that way. You know, if you take a good argument and flip on both sides and see what you can do. And so I think in terms of when I do this, all right, I'll take the negative position on something and say, well, wait a minute, what about? You just can't debate, y'all.
It's
massive understatement, I know.
But it doesn't sound like a Bible anymore,
wow.
Does it? You know, I mean, he's just straightforward in his speech. And this is very important because these delusions that have turned everything upside down and backwards, in other words, a family relationship becomes a religious institution, what does one have to do with the other? And the answer is obviously nothing at all, you know. So, and again, when you say with his confusing and false perceptions, which invert reality in his heart, and things like this, we're still talking about a one guy.
Yeah.
He's, right?
He's very much focused on his one person. I mean, there's some sad dudes out there, Muhammad and on and on and on and on, and Kiva too, and Maimonides and all the and Buddha. You know, he did as much damage to the Indians, they didn't get to hear anything. So, but this is the guy who is the most deadly, obviously.
I think Buddha was the Chinese more. I think the Indians were wrapped up in Hinduism, which Yahweh says that a lot of
Hinduism
that is going to be incorporated.
What is it? Regardless of all the Shivas and everything about it, they're just different paths. But this guy went after people who should have known better and thwarted something that could have been brilliant, you know, as far as people hearing about Yahweh. And so that's Satan at work, you know. He saw what was coming and he jumped on. He selected his man and said, let's go.
Yeah, he did all he could to trash something that was important. Which is exactly what Yahweh said, which would have been the Torah. The teaching.
So Larry, that brings us about 6:15.
Okay.
And why don't you read that for us? You've got the great reading voice, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay. And upon this, therefore, suddenly, surprisingly, openly, albeit briefly, he will arrive with his destructive opposition and ruinous calamity. He will smash and shatter, breach and break something vital. As a result, he will suffer affliction in an instant, and he will not be any remedy nor cure.
So if you follow him, that last one is the Ayin Marpe, which is there will be no remedy and no cure. Of course, Marpe is healing, health, and cure. And when you disassociate, now that's an interesting word. Let me share something with you that was kind of fun to find. It's obviously what he's saying, there's no cure when you join the plague of death. That's obvious. But Marpe was a interesting lookup. It means healing. And it's written as a mem, which is an M, a R, a Rosh, and a mouth shape, a Pei, and Aleph. And it's a funny thing, when you get to the roots and everything, or different associated words, if you separate the M. Now, the M we often use because it means water, and heating water, and cleansing. It's a universal solvent, and it also is used in the description of the set apart, the Ruach Kodesh, the set apart spirit that brings us life and protects us. When you separate that and you're left with a Rosh Pei Aleph, then you get dead or deceased. I just
that
didn't
ain't
expect
good.
To find, I don't expect to find that stuff when I look at that.
Yeah.
I mean,
harshness, anger, hostility, it's all in there. Why not death, too? I mean,
well,
no stability, no peace.
No matter where you dig, he says the same thing over and over from every different way, like a good teacher would.
Yeah,
I
well,
a lot of things when
horrible.
I teach.
incurable usually leads to death, and I mean that's where it's at. And you know, and when he says all of a sudden like that, I like that because you know we're so used to. Let's say I make a mistake today, mm-hmm. you know, or you make a mistake today, and then we can go back, we can reconcile that, can't we, with somebody? I mean, we can make it right, we can fix it, or at least in most cases. You know, especially if it was an accident or something like that. It's not something heinous. You can't fix something like that.
No, you can't. I messed up on the recordings last week, and I heard about it endlessly.
Yeah, I hear you. But, you know, we can of course, always fix things. But, you know, when you're finished on this earth, I mean, when you pass away, when you're dead, and most people will be dead, but when you pass on, I mean, you're where you're at. You've made your bed. There's no talking your way out of this one.
No. And unfortunately, that also makes it a little sad when you first join Yaw's family and you realize all the relatives that you had and all the people that you loved didn't hear this. It's very sad that they didn't get it or they never heard it, but. Unfortunately, there the one thing about death, the way Yahweh has structured it, it is not a punishment. They just simply die. You had your life, you lived it, and now it's gone. So it's not like hell and damnation that churches preach. So
Yeah, and there's no halfway in between. You know, you only have a Zob and Bereath. You're either in a state where you're Sadoks, upright and righteous, if you will, and right, you're on the right path, or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no in between. There isn't. You know, we've all been taught throughout our lives. There's gray area. We've been taught throughout our lives. We can always go back and you know, talk our way out of things or make things right. But you know, at the end of your life, you're where you're at, and you got on the path that you chose. And since Yahweh says there's, you know, this one path, it's a very straightforward path, and it's a very narrow path, and few people are going to enter that path. And even though I know a lot more people know about the path than are on the path, the reason I know that is because they're trying to drag religion in with them. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to fit in that narrow doorway if you're carrying religion with you.
No, you won't get through.
It ain't going to happen.
No, that's what matzah does. It cleans off all that garbage, all that stuff.
Yeah, it does. But if somebody tries to drag, let's say somebody goes through a matzah and they don't even have any understanding, because those moed are not for the purposes of rituals; they're for the purposes of understanding. I mean, that's what it says they're for.
Right.
You know, so if I go through the moed mikra and I understand nothing, it probably really hasn't done me much good. You know, I mean, that's the bottom line. So you really want to try to understand and do what you understand.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be enough. He doesn't expect us to understand everything. I know he doesn't expect a lot out of me. I know that. No. But he couldn't.
Thank goodness.
Yes, I'm real thankful. I was happy to understand that, by the way. You know, I really was.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, I think some people wish they, you know, they hope to know it all, and that just isn't going to happen. That's why he has to, you know, upon renewal of the covenant, he's going to write the Torah mm-hmm. inside of us.
Right.
You know, and then we're going to understand, you know, billions of things that we don't understand today. There's no doubt about it.
But there'll be trillions more that we won't, so we get to go learn those.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You ain't going to get bored.
I'm with you. Then he goes on to say, behold, presently, these six things Yahweh hates, and seven are an abomination to his soul. And we'll start with the first one.
Let me throw one thing in on seven. Now, we know what seven is, and it's day of rest and promises and all that sort of thing. Did you know what I found on the Shabbat and the ancient Hebrew? Well, Shabbat is with the H, you know, that makes it feminine, but if you drop the H and you just have Shab, it is 2B7. And I thought about that, and
to be
because I've been talking a lot with Roy over the last few months, And, you know, Roy, we talk about dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
2B7 can easily be interpreted as to be in the seventh dimension.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, and that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so maybe another little clue, don't know. But I thought it was very interesting why it's written that way, 2B7.